Our scripture lessons for the communion meditation begin with Ephesians in chapter 5, and then from the gospel words of Jesus in chapter 6. In Ephesians, Paul is giving this advice on life. Be careful then how you live, not as unwise people, but as wise, making the most of the time, because the days are evil. So do not be foolish, but understand what the will of the Lord is. Do not get drunk with wine, for that is debauchery, but be filled with the Spirit. As you sing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs among yourselves, sing and make melody to the Lord in your hearts, giving thanks to God the Father at all times for everything in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. In the Gospel of John, we find this help from Jesus about understanding the Lord's Supper. Jesus said, "I am the living bread that came down from heaven. Whoever eats this bread will live forever. And the bread that I give for the life of the world is my flesh." The Jews then disputed among themselves, saying, "How can this man give us his flesh to eat?" So Jesus said to them, "Very truly I tell you, unless you eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, you have no life in you. Those who eat my flesh and drink my blood have eternal life, and I will raise them up at the last day. For my flesh is true food, and my blood is true drink. Those who eat my flesh and drink my blood abide in me, and I in them. Just as the living Father sent me, and I live because of the Father, so whoever eats me will live because of me. This is the bread that came down from heaven, not like that which your ancestors ate, and they died. But the one who eats this bread will live forever." This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. So what are you doing here is a question that we've all asked and we have all been asked. Sometimes it's a kind of a surprise reaction. We've all been on vacation in some remote place, out of the way, away from familiar surroundings, and we run into the next door neighbors. Once, while Carol and I were on vacation, we were visiting in our hometown, and we had to go see someone we knew in the hospital where we were both born. And Carol trained there and worked there as a nurse. But hospitals change. And we got there, and we were lost. We couldn't find who we wanted to, and we couldn't even find who to ask to find out who or where. I'm convinced that the basic architectural principle for hospitals is you can't get there from here. I noticed that a lot. Anyway, we ran into a very lovely lady who took pity on us, introduced herself, and directed us. She asked where we were from, Hackensack. Sure enough, two of her best friends lived not far from us. Her next question, "So what are you doing here?" Other times that can mean, "Can I help somehow?" We find a friend in the doctor's office. You find a friend stranded with a car problem or someplace we know they don't want to be. And at that point, "So what are you doing here?" can be very sweet music. And then we find the neighbor kids playing in the street where both they and we know they are not supposed to be, and we scold them, "What are you doing here?" Now, with that in mind, we can begin to understand Paul's words in the lesson from Ephesians. In essence, he said, watch out. It's dangerous here in life. That's what those verses mean, which say, be very careful then how you live, not as unwise, but wise, making the most of every opportunity because the days are evil. Therefore, do not be foolish, but understand what the Lord's will is. In two words, rubber worms. Life is a serious business, full of possibility for joy or sorrow, for security or danger, for comfort for anger, for terror. And to help us sort out what is worth our attention and direction, we come to worship. That's the worth part of worship. God desires it for our own good, not simply for himself. We're not coming here to pay our dues to God for his blessings, because sometimes we come here and we don't feel very blessed. We come here because it's good for us. And then we are pleasing God by doing best for those he loves, and that would be us. Now today is a part of worship. We're coming to the table of our Lord and Savior to celebrate communion. Again, we need to remember the feelings of, so what are you doing here? The prayer of confession, the words of assurance, are kind of first alert worship alarm, so that we carefully come to the table remembering what it cost God to invite us here. The broken body and shed blood of Christ. We come with that feeling, but we go beyond it to a deeper feeling of fellowship, because we see other people coming with us and joining us for this celebration. And while we began with the thought of Jesus' sacrifice, we move on, because this is not a funeral for Jesus. We would not be celebrating it if the crucifixion had not been followed by the resurrection. And so we are invited to the table to receive the benefits of Christ's death, which were authenticated by Christ's new life. And with that, we can joyfully ask each other, so what are you doing here today, already knowing the answer? We can understand that answer better if we look at Jesus' words found in the Gospel of John. Obviously, Jesus was thinking about being the bread of life and about the Lord's Supper he would institute in place of the Passover. This is a very special passage for Christians, and we need not let its exceptional imagery be misunderstood or even misused. Some have said this is kind of a gruesome passage. It sounds cannibalistic. Nonsense. Jesus was speaking to his own culture here, not to a world that does not and does not want to understand. No Hebrew wanted anything to do with cannibalism. They knew very well what Jesus was talking about. This was a rather exact metaphor or symbol. When Jesus said, I'm the door, nobody thought it was about a wooden door and a hinge. They understood exactly what he meant. I'm the way, the entrance into a right relationship with God. So what's the meaning of this image? What are we doing here with this picture? Jesus said, whoever eats my flesh and drinks my blood has eternal life, and I will raise him up at the last day. By flesh, he meant his life with us. Just what we mean when we say a person is here with us in the flesh. We need Jesus' perfect, sinless life, lived as a demonstration of life as God intends, and also as the perfect sacrifice for our sin. And with blood, Jesus was talking about his death, his shed blood, making that sacrifice for the salvation of the world. And God the Father responded to that perfect life and sacrifice with resurrection, with eternal life. And we, in turn, by coming to the table, eating and drinking the very signs and seals of God's grace given to us. And we know why we're here. And we know what we're doing. But let's not stop there. We don't want to stop with the question, what are you doing here? We want to go on to, because we have been here, what are we doing? Because we are at the table of our Lord and Savior. Christian faith is both sanctuary and battle station. Because we've been here in the sanctuary, in the safety, in this refreshment, we can leave this place, this worship, this sacrament, strengthened for living. We can leave here better ready to answer, so what are you doing here in business, in family, in personal decisions? Since we have been at the table, we are better ready, better prepared for the rubber worms in life. Karl Barth, the most famous theologian of our time, said, we ought to be reading the newspaper in one hand with the Bible in the other. We need our faith not only for defense, we need it for offense as well. We need to think of our Christianity not only as a medicine, but as a tool, and use it to fashion life into what God desires. And it's not easy to do that. Where do we get the nerve, the wisdom, the conviction, the energy to go into all the world and into life with this good news, this gospel? Where do we get the long-term power to keep marriage vows and seek local justice, as well as think about and talk about what the Supreme Court did or didn't do? How do we maintain an integrity so that our children learn to depend upon our yes and our no? And all through all of this, remain faithful to a Savior and Lord who died and lives for us. Where do we get that energy, that conviction? From no place less than being in communion, in common union with our Lord and Savior. With a communion He instituted and provides for us through His very body, the church. And in this way, we are prepared to stand at Christ's table. And we are ready to joyfully answer, so what are you doing here? As our communion liturgy always says, come, for all things are ready. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we have read your word about celebrating communion. And now we ask for your Spirit to help us understand your scriptures and to receive from the Lord's Supper all that you intend. We ask this in Jesus' name, for His sake and for ours. Amen.